Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in on DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talkback show and today we have two Perth-based comedians. We have Andrew Wolf and Christopher Shin. Welcome, guys.
Hello, hello. Lovely to be here.
Thanks for having us on. Why do you have to leave so early? What are we going to do?
Maybe I've got a date, Andrew.
I know. Wow. Yeah. Really? Someone from Perth Hub?
No, I'm lying.
What are the guys?
I'm not that exciting. No.
Oh,
no.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you can date during COVID. There's nowhere you can go, really. Can you?
No, you can.
We're open again.
You can totally date, but you've got to sit like 2 metres apart from
each other.
You know that's like most of my dates anyway. Hey? Yeah, only about 10 metres.
It's just, you know, at the end of the day, we're just walking on the beach while we're by ourselves, aren't we?
100%. Most of my dates are whatever the distance from the fence to the bedroom window.
Oh, that's just
wrong, Andrew. Yeah, I hope this doesn't go. Is this going live? It's not going live.
No, it's not live. It's not live.
We're not cutting
that. We're going to edit that out, won't we?
No.
Yeah. It will. It gets aired next. Well, that's okay.
What? Do you edit it quite a bit?
No, I don't.
It's all in, hey?
Yeah. You're in.
And then, so dating, do you use any of the apps?
I have. I've been on Bumble.
What did you think?
Well, I get really bored with any dating apps. I think they're kind of like, you know, Tetris. I say yes to everyone and then...
Oh, well, that's
it's like a guy, right?
That is not the right way to go about it. I know. What are you doing? Yes to everyone, just opening yourself up to predators. Left
100%, man.
No, come on. You don't know that until they respond to you. On Bumble, you actually have to... the female gets the opportunity, if you match, to be the first person to message.
So you message everyone?
I'm polite.
Oh, that's so good of you, man.
But you've got to message first, so it's not polite. You don't have to reciprocate
Why is it called Bumble? It sounds like a time waster. What does Bumble mean?
It is a time waster. Yeah.
Bumble around.
Yeah, you get stung once and you die.
The thing is, it's very hard to stand out on the apps unless you're being weird or creepy.
Do you think?
Otherwise you've just got a dog or you're walking on the beach. Yeah, you've got to be like horoscope.
Or a fish, mate.
You've got to be kooky.
Yeah, fish is the big move.
You know what I mean? If you don't mention Mars in retrograde in your title, I don't know.
Oh,
we don't have time for you.
You have weird references like I love Buffalo Bills and if they connect.
Yeah, and some, like, some food no one's heard of. He's a blood ox fucking foe, you know?
Kicking back watching He-Man.
What about you guys? Are you on dating apps too?
I'm not personally. I haven't been on them ever. I've talked too much shit about them to actually hop on them now.
I've never touched. Well, I think my ex-partner's on them and I don't want to give her that victory, which she swipes and sees me on it. Dude, I mean, I'm so spiteful. I'm not better than this. I get in the free market, man.
What would be your first three steps after you found out your ex was on Tinder?
She's definitely on it, dude. I saw even before we had broken up, I was like, Would you like it for a laugh?
Would you like swipe right just to be like, hey?
I think it's sort of like when you're both bunked off work, you know, you say, hey, we're both on it. But that's what I'm trying to avoid.
I feel like if you see her on Tinder now, it would be more like running into someone at the shops, right? And you had that initial chat, like, oh, how you going? And then you keep running into them at every fucking aisle and you've got to have that same conversation.
Yeah,
you know
100%.
What I mean?
And I would be interested to see what's on her profile, though.
Yeah.
What sort of photos and, do you know, what she's right swiping on. Which is it, left or right?
I think right if you want to say yes to someone and then left if you are rejecting them.
Can you do an up swipe?
That's like a super like. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. You don't want to accidentally go upwards on the wrong person.
Oh, man, I'd be worried. Like, you could end up just sitting on your phone and suddenly sort of sending out 100 messages. Mm.
Let's stop talking about how Tinder works. I feel like we're so old in this fucking room
right now.
What's going on?
Yeah.
But anyway, so you're heavy on the Bumble app.
No, I delete apps so quickly. Like, I get on them for 24 hours and delete.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people
Snapchat,
do.
That's what you need.
I've got Snapchat. That's not like a dating thing, but.
Do you know, it can be.
Really?
Well, I treat it like that.
I'm missing something on this.
But I don't know. I think the problem is I wouldn't want to use it when you've been drinking because I think that's when I go to the apps. Do you know, late at night and I think...
People messaging your ex was bad.
It's the worst version of yourself, man. I think phones should be locked off.
What, and then you do like a cute bunny shot, Andrew, and then send it off to someone. Oh, here's a bunny.
let's say it's not a bunny, but it's equally as hairy.
Oh, no.
No, don't send it.
That's a triple reference. Yeah, well, that's interesting.
If it's not asked for, don't send it. That's my rule.
Oh, 100%.
This is quite a good studio, hey? You've got all... all the the sort of egg stuffing or what's it called?
Like soundproofing.
Soundproofing. Yeah.
Egg stuffing.
It's very cool. Hey guys, can you tell us a bit about your comedy background? When did you start? How long have you? What have you been up to?
Me? Yeah. Who goes first?
Oh, you can, Andrew. Okay. You're already talking.
Okay. I started in 2012. But okay. I've always been on stage, baby. But 2012, and then I started around that Raw. Mm-hmm. Same sort of inception of everyone.
Yep.
And I actually did the Comedy Store course for a while, but okay. I pulled out of it after the two sessions. I never did the final performance.
Oh.
Yeah.
How come?
Oh, I don't know. I just wasn't vibing the – do you know what I mean? I sort of signed up, but it was – in anticipation of that, I started gigging.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And then, I didn't really need. I think the only reason you need a course is to make you have a deadline. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't really care what they said. It would just force me to actually start. And then I'm not sure
if a course is the right way to start comedy, to be fair.
Only if you've got ADHD and you need to be set a reason. And yeah, go but there's a reason. September 11.
There's a reason you didn't do it. Go through it because you didn't want to. What? Is it because you didn't want to sit through the 4 hours of this is a punchline?
Yeah, well, it's sort of slideshows. And then the thing is, I feel if you want to do it well, like, you have to do your own thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Every, like, comedy, the big thing about it is, like, you know, how personal you can make it. I want to hear a story that, you know, makes me feel emotion, whether it's from your particular side, you know what I mean?
Yeah, your perspective. You're so right.
Like, no one really wants that news talk show style comedy anymore. Like, here's my scripted jokes about that corona, you know?
Yeah,
like, nobody wants that anymore. People want a bit of realism.
And it's sort of, it's a bit like The Voice, do you know what I mean? Like, people can replicate other great singers, but I'm like, even the judges don't have a career anymore. Do you know what I mean? Because they're not writing good music, right? Anyone can sing. 80% of the population can fucking sing. So they're like, oh, I can sing.
Aww.
I'm like, but can he write Bob Dylan lyrics? Or just, do you know?
Andrew, I'm thinking you're so wrong. My kids think I sound like a bleating goat. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You've got a very calming nature, I must say. It's quite good to have this chaotic figure.
Yeah, man, you relax presence, me, hey. You know? It was like Guy Sebastian had that thing on TV last night. Did you see that?
No, I don't watch TV.
I was just sort of deconstructing his lyrics and going like, I hope you understand what I'm trying to get across here. I'm like, dude, you're singing about having champagne in a bar. Do you know what I mean? You're not a poet. You're not deep. You're singing about pedestrian activities that happen during life. So.
I went to the shops today and they were open.
He goes, yeah, what I was trying to achieve here is sort of an insight into this. And I'm like, mate.
Don't you hate when granola's not half price?
You're beautiful.
What about you, Chris? Your comedy journey?
He's about to start in a few weeks.
Yeah, my first gig coming up. Wolfie is helping me out here. No,
I've got him some good material on Me Too that should be good.
Yeah, now only Me Too material, Black Lives Matter material for me now. No, I started in 2010, I think, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And very badly at the start. The first 2 years was just trash. I think the first gig I ever did was good, luckily.
Yeah.
And I was just the right amount of drunk. Just to have that blind confidence.
Where was your first gig?
It was at the Brass Monkey.
Oh, man, that was shut down, wasn't it?
That was shut down a long time ago.
Place,
yeah, it? Yeah. It was not through the scandal or shut down. I think it's still running, but they had a comedy club there years and years and years ago.
Yeah, man. I was meant to do it a lot earlier there growing up, but then bailed out.
Do you know, okay.
Maybe
it seems to be an ongoing theme of your life.
10 years earlier, I was booked in. I had a gig. I had notes, but I was under the control of my mum, and she was like, "Where are you?" And I just got too ashamed, and then came home. Do you know, just bailed the gig, and then it was put on hiatus for. But I would have my first gig might have been Brass Monkey.
Okay,
way before. Dude, it's a great story.
Yeah,
they can't all be bangers, okay?
So 2010 for you, Chris.
Yeah, about 2010 to 11, one of those 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
But the first 2 years, I could hardly say I did comedy. I did, like, you know, maybe four gigs a year.
100%, man. I think it's hard to even say in the first 10 that you do comedy.
Yeah.
Don't you think you're just trying to learn comedy? I don't know, I think.
Yeah, it takes a while, definitely, to find your voice. I mean,
to get through that anxiety, do you know what I mean? Because you block yourself through your own fears.
Yeah.
Like, I think Dave Chappelle was saying it, in the hardest thing is to still be yourself when other people are watching.
Yeah.
And that's the trap in comedy, do you know? Because you get freeze up.
Yeah.
The 100 people judging you, and do you know everything they're thinking is true? Like, you are an asshole, or do you know what I mean? And your inner monologue is on their face. So it's fucking stressful. I find it the opposite,
because you and me have similar-ish comedy styles.
100%, man. I mean,
we're very yelly. That's
yelly,
for sure.
And we free flow, and it's energy-based sort of stuff.
100%. But I think that is like, you got to go into a gig thinking, you know, you can't ever be scared of what the audience is going to think.
Yeah. 100%.
You got to kind of just go in and be like, this is what's funny. If you don't think it's funny, fuck you, you're wrong.
Yeah, I agree, man. You have to have that mindset.
Yeah.
That they've effectively paid for it. So, you know what I mean?
They're there to see you, baby.
They don't even have funny friends. They have to pay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If they can't spend a Saturday night at home entertaining themselves.
100%. I'm like,
who are they to fucking judge us?
You can't be a connoisseur. You're $30 deep because you don't want to hang with your family.
It's
anymore.
Like being a connoisseur, having, like, you know, just going into an ice cream shop, trying every little fucking sample size. And like, oh, I know what I'm talking about. Oh, fuck off.
And they've got such a blue
ribbon ass out of here.
They've got a weird perspective as well. Because it's fun, it's easy to be funny with your friends that know what you are, plus you're not nervous. Do you know what I mean? They understand where you're coming from.
I guarantee you those funny friend jokes are 90% either sexist, racist, or homophobic.
Oh, 100%. Everyone is.
Yeah.
Do you find that? That's what I find in money. You go marginally over the edge on stage and they judge you, but then you see them at the Christmas party doing a pull my finger, fart joke, or like the lowest common shit. But you know what I mean? They hold you up to a standard that they don't even hold up their close friends to on that Bucks weekend. Or do you find? Would you agree with this?
I don't know. I've got a really good tribe. So
you got friends that they're all good.
Yeah, they laugh
at
me. We're
just hanging out with each other.
Do you think your friends have still crossed lines privately that if cross was said on stage, they'd be cancelled? I think I know almost everyone I've met could have been cancelled at one point with something said to me in private convo.
Let's not get in there.
Maybe. All right, what's your biggest learning curve or bomb on stage?
Oh, mate, why don't you go, because you've got a few to get through. Oh,
here we go. Well, I think the biggest learning stage was kind of realising that comedy is genuinely more of like an art form as opposed to like, you know, just a bunch of drunk idiots going up there talking shit.
Mm.
I think it's more, there's that line you cross after like a year of like, oh, there's actually a way to do this and there's actually a structured way to be funny.
Yeah, definitely, man.
That's always one of your biggest bomb. I think the first time I actually got asked to close the show headline at Little Creatures. were you there?
No, you've told me about this.
Okay, so I went in real cocky because I'd done that room heaps of times and I was, you know, went well, pretty well every time. So got in real cocky, brought a girl that I was dating with me at the time. We're in the backstage and she's like, shouldn't you be watching the show? And I'm like, I got this, you know. Absolutely filled with confidence.
Fuck this. And then was she there at the end of the show? Is she gone?
Yeah, no, she was there. So Ben Sutton went on just before me. He's another comic who does a lot of accents and stuff. So he did his great accent material. And then I went on with not as good accent material. Oh, yeah. They're like, nah, bring back the other guy, right? So, just absolutely. I mean, the first 5 minutes were not too bad. Luckily, the booker of the show, John, trusted me and left after the first 5 minutes.
Oh, that's perfect.
And so, you know, I got off scot-free, but it wasn't a great show. Afterwards, it was real upsetting. Afterwards, the girl I was with, I was like, oh, let's just go back to yours and relax. I was like, yeah, nah, you can go back. So I called her an Uber.
Oh,
and I sent her away, and I just sat there drinking at the bar for another 2 hours while Ben Sutton.
At least you hung around. I tried to do that as well.
The worst was I was hanging around with Ben and a few other people, and there was these like fans from the show coming and hitting on Ben in front of me, and I was talking about his comedy, and I just had to be like, oh, yeah.
It's so good for your growth that you've confronted it and stayed to the audience. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't do it for the audience. I did it for the drinks.
The alcohol, the free booze.
Yeah, 100%.
Because that's what I always wondered. Like, if you bombed in front of your partner, they can't respect you as much after that. Do you know what I mean?
Is that why your marriage didn't work out, Wolfie?
You got to hold hands with the guy that's wrecked the night.
Oh,
do you know, trust
I think you're being too critical, hey.
But don't you think you'd feel like, geez, it would definitely change. I think that, I've mentioned it before, I think that might have degraded it. Do you know? Your partner just seeing
I think your partner should be there for the good and the bad times, Andrew.
That's rule number one. Your partner should never come to a comedy gig.
I think
really?
So as well.
That is a death sentence. Firstly, why take the risk?
And also, comedians are rude. They just talk about comedy. They're not inclusive. Do you know what I mean? They come in and they barely acknowledge people that aren't comedians. I think that's what she experienced.
Okay.
They would just be like, hey, how you going? And then go like, so what do you reckon about that N-bit, man? Do you know what I mean? Do you think our closing's strong? But I, I had lots of bombs early on.
Mm.
Fuck.
But you're the best when you bomb. The best I've seen you is when you've started a set bombing and then you've just been like, fuck this, that I don't care anymore.
Well, that's what I learned the early save, man. Because I had exactly what he's saying. I thought, it's like when you're getting bullied in high school. Early on, I used to freeze up and then continue with the script. But then I realised it's like...
What was the high school script, by the way?
not the high school script, but you know how if someone's taking your lunchbox at school, that's what I feel like the crowd's doing to you by, like, bombing and judging you and not saying anything. You're better off to just throw a punch, I feel.
Yeah.
100%. Get on the offensive, mate.
Because I'm sitting in the car afterwards, and the reason I realised I felt so bad was because I didn't fucking stand up for myself. It's so much better to challenge them and go like, who the fuck do you think you are? Yeah. And then flip it. And even though it's a bad night, you feel, well, you saved your pride, right?
Well, I think you defended yourself. I think you've taken that step a little bit further, and right now you're preemptive striking. I can't get hurt anymore.
I'm like an abuser. I project. Yeah. Hey, you're looking at me funny? What are you looking at, mate? And then just go. So it has probably gone too far. But do you know what I mean? The fear of bombing goes if you know that you can't bomb.
Okay.
Because you would sooner dismantle or semblance of fun. I think.
So your learning curve has basically been that you've learnt to counter that bomb, basically.
Oh, no
Is that
one
right?
learns anything from a good gig. You don't learn anything about yourself from a good gig.
The good gigs are worthless, man. I think it's the bad ones.
I mean, the good gigs, they're a little ego pat. They're like, you've done well. You know. Yeah.
But you know my problem
with... This is why we're complacent.
Yeah, 100%. You know what my problem with the bomb move is? That's worked for shorter time, but I've never done it for an hour. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can get away with it for 20 minutes, but I think if I'm attacking them at the 45-minute mark, they're police getting involved.
You've got to easily attack it. You know, you can't attack them from the... I mean, I do all the time.
There is a good strategy to attack them because there is a weird entitlement in the crowd that they're judging you.
Mm.
But in many ways, you're judging them because we're doing all the gigs. We know that it's funny. And then they go, it's not to my taste. And I'm like, you're a moron.
Well, then that's why we flipped the power dynamic for us to be in control of that situation.
That's the
in our minds anyway.
That's 100%. You judge the audience and then you can't bomb.
Wow. Well,
you go into a set thinking that everyone in the audience is too stupid to have an opinion, and then you're fine. You know, you don't feel bad, and you're like, they're idiots anyway.
I think, a few comics have told me that. Hey, you just treat them as sort of like pigs or sheep. It's just
blurry. Andrew doesn't mean it. Please still come to his shows.
Oh, just advertising the show. It's going to be good. No, I was just messing around. Yeah. You asked about bombs. Why are we doing negative PR? Like, we shouldn't mention this question.
I've never bombed first.
We were set up for a honey trap, man. Yeah. We're going to talk about our worst gigs.
Oh, no.
Like,
all right.
About the positives.
What's a common myth about being a comedian?
A common myth?
Yeah.
How about you give us some myths and we'll answer if they're true.
I can give you one straight away that comedians are funny off stage.
Yeah.
It's very
rare. That's not true.
90% of them are autistic or people that are not funny. And I don't even know how the fuck they found their way into it. I'm like, imagine you have no natural talent or ability socially to be funny and then choosing that as your job.
If anyone that does improv thinks they've got a good story at the dinner party, you immediately shut them up. Dude, you don't want to hear it, no.
But how's the arrogance to, like, you haven't really even... When I sit with some of these comedians in the green room, they're not funny. So I'm like, how did you ever think to do this? And they become funny through repetition and rope learning. But I'm like, what a heavy lifting, man.
It's a thin veil. It's a facade of being funny. You know what I mean? Like, they've learnt it. It's a learnt funny.
I'm like,
it's different to inherit funny.
And then you're a wind-up doll, you know, a pull string doll. Like, just a parrot. I'm like, is there any meaning to it?
Yeah, the same act could be done by a Dice Clay doll.
You're fucking Guy Sebastian. You're a... You know what I mean?
You're a puppet.
You're a jukebox machine. Jukebox, baby.
Here's my favourite shitty track. What's that? Your personality.
Yeah, man. I think being a charlatan like that must be stressful as well. Because you get more and more chances and then they would like put you on radio and you've got to just naturally be funny. And they'd be thinking like, how do I crowbar in my hairdressing material?
I think a lot of people don't try to be funny. I think a lot of people come in here with this like this script and this, you know, who they want to be. But those people aren't the people that want to be true comics. They're the people that want to make it.
Dude, 100%, because like Chappelle, to reference again, is supposedly anyone that's been with him, he's always funny. Do you know what I mean? They said you can't really tell whether he's on stage or if you're just hanging with him in a bus. Like, he's just always, that's the way he is.
That's
because he wants to have fucking fun in life. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't take it seriously and he knows it's all an illusion and meaningless. Mm. So he's like, fucking, I'm going to laugh at everything always. And I suppose that's the joy of humour. Do you know what I mean? To cut through the bullshit.
I think, but so if you're, you
let's end there. Yeah. That was a very deep statement.
But do you know what I mean? Why wouldn't you do it the whole time?
Yeah.
To bring joy.
I guess,
and
but if you're with
shit.
your friends, right, and they you all bounce really well off each other, and you know, having that conversation, it's going to be funny, isn't it? You're not sitting there stagnant all
the
time.
Definitely, man. But then, what I was saying, like, to be funny in the green room, it is also annoying when someone's always on. Like, it's nice to have an earnest chat. I'm not. I do something.
Chris just pointed to Andrew.
I do sometimes talk seriously with people about like serious shit. We were talking about
Okay. Because
you gotta have some gear.
We did talk about it, but you also threw in like 50 punchlines.
Yeah, you throw in a few, but
you gotta keep them paying attention.
I feel like if you don't have a gear change, then that's another problem. And it's probably a problem in my stand up. I need a few more layers. Do you know what I mean? Rather than just yell, have a few different, you know, being more.
Like building them up to that.
Yeah, being more sincere at times.
Okay.
Not always the same.
Yeah, but sincere. I think, like, okay, how do you feel watching comedy, full stop? Do you enjoy it?
No, man, I find so much boring. And the thing is, I like the punk rock. I like high intensity and energy. Otherwise, I'm fucking out because of my ADHD. I'm fucking interested.
Having, like, worked in the industry for a bit, you know, you feel so much more jaded watching comedy. Because you sit there analysing, they do a joke, and then someone's like, oh, yeah, fucking hack. You know what I mean? And then there's always like a. There's always stuff to nip it.
If you're in comedy a lot, it feels like you're at a wake most of the time. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because the laughs disappear, and then you see the repetition of what people are doing, and it's just sort of a somber vibe in your soul.
I don't think many comics actually will sit there and really watch another comic for a bit. I mean, I probably don't.
Well, I watch people that.
I don't want to watch you because I respect you too much.
I like watching people that light up the room, that put authentic self forward. I don't really even care about the jokes. I just like seeing a real person. That's all I like. And I think there's a big chunk of people that don't do that, and you can still have a career.
Yeah,
so it's fucking insane.
Yeah, it's a bit. As Lee says, it finds like a lot of networks and stuff. They hire people based on not funny, but likability and what it will. Is this person safe?
Consistency is the other thing.
Yeah, but it's also safe is a big one. You know what I mean? There's so many people on TV that aren't that funny.
Yeah.
But they're safe. They won't offend anyone. They won't do this. You know what I mean? They just, they look like X, Y, and Z.
Well, that's it, because you're trying to sell product, right? It's just
I guess you become a brand, don't you?
But no, but I'm saying the whole TV is just a tool to sell commercial space. Do you know what I mean? To get you to buy cars and phones. Do you know what I mean? So you can't have some crazy motherfucker and then do a Nestle ad after.
Yeah, that's exactly
or a bank ad. It's just got to, like, lull you in, open to the masses, get you there and just fucking get that wallet open.
100%. That's what it's there for. That's a tool. But TV's a dying media anyway.
Yeah, I think, and you know, that's the big... That's
radio, that's the key.
Podcast. That is actually the big thing. There is a transition now, I think, hey? TV's out. Even radio, like, that people want... And you can see the contrast. Like, the comedy that's really taking off now is online that is pitched just to niche areas of audience. Do you know what I mean? That some of these comics probably couldn't even do club rooms. But, you know, they're blowing up and making tons of money.
Name some names.
Well, like an Andrew Shields.
Yeah.
And Andrew Shields is so fucking funny. And he can do it now because he's got a fan base. He can go everywhere and perform. But I wonder if he started in the bottom, whether he could have got through. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He's used the internet to sort of bypass. I feel like bookers might have cancelled him before he could ever come to the top.
Because he did it through his own platforms.
He did it through his own platforms and he was already getting blocked. They wouldn't put him on the Comedy Store. Netflix wouldn't touch him. But then he's overruled it using the internet.
Wow.
And you see him on him doing a sort of piece on current shit that's going on versus Jimmy Fallon. And it's like, Jimmy Fallon's like a puppet on a string, man. Like, do you know what I mean? He just doesn't deliver.
100%.
Yeah.
That fake laugh is like the most insincere thing you've ever heard in your life.
He's got to fucking edit everything he says because he's got sponsorship. So he's 100%. Just in there like his punchline's Coca-Cola for no reason.
So you guys as performers, what is your comedy on stage like aim to say?
I don't know if I've got a specific agenda like that. Think as a whole, I think that, you know, as an Asian man, I think that it's good to have more, you know, Asian representation on stage. So that's a big motivator for me.
Yeah, that's good.
As opposed to, like, anything I want to say through comedy directly. It's more making light on social matters and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously addressing the seriousness of it. But, you know, doing it in a way with, like, levity and, like, you know, that people can actually laugh at.
Yeah, that's perfect, man. And as a white guy, I'm up there trying to represent, you know, white guys.
You're trying to represent All Lives Matter.
And I don't know. You know what my comedy wants to do is unpick the Matrix. Do you know what I mean? Like, undermine all... look, I don't achieve it, but I would like to try find the truth.
What's the truth?
Well, just undermine civilization as it currently stands.
It's very X-Files right now.
No, but I'm saying that everything that people are invested in, like, just challenge their ideas.
Wolf has gone more for the V for Vendetta angle, you know what I mean?
No, I just want to...
Rise up, everybody!
I want to throw sand in society's face. Yeah. But no, I don't achieve it, but that would be what I would love to do. Do you know what I mean? Just make you rethink things that you've taken for granted. Just going to school, taking a job, living in a cage that you eventually have to try to pay off. Do you know what I mean? Make you think maybe you should honour your soul and
you know,
and
what's crazy?
What you're interested
like
in.
Like 90% of specified jobs right now, you literally can do with YouTube tutorials. How fucking crazy is that? Because that means like school, like the systematic way we're educated. It's an ancient way of doing it.
And you know, we've got AI now, so it's going to replace all repetitive tasks. So like the only thing left is unique thought and creativity, and there'll be nothing beyond that.
But then what happens when everything crashes? Like, you look at this mixer on this table right now, right? I know how to use it. You ask me how it works, I couldn't tell you anything about it. Tell me how a remote works for your TV. You know what I mean? No clue.
Yeah. We don't really understand. It's all collective thought to make it happen.
And my dad would know that because he was a tinkerer and he can fix anything.
Does he know how to fix a remote?
Everything.
I've got a few remotes that are
well, send it my way.
It's like our generation is a bit fucked though. Because if you think about it, we don't know how to do anything. I don't even clean my house. I pay for someone to do that. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't like doing anything.
Yeah,
I don't even really like feeding myself. I want someone to put it in my mouth.
I think outsourcing's okay. Takeaway food. Food cleaners, you know, it's good. It's time efficient.
It's okay, but we're losing, you know, so much of these practices. I don't want to lose it all, man. If we were to fix a lawnmower, I mean, we could probably get there.
I don't want any of this. I want to lie in a nutrient-rich bath and just be pumped with feelings and chemicals.
You just want to be in one of those isolation tanks with a full screen.
A Joe Rogan float tank. Yeah. And then just pump me full of various drugs and just experience sad, suffering, happiness. You get married and they just put some endorphins.
If you had to program your life, would you throw a little bit of sad in there so the peaks are higher?
Well, that's the thing. You've got to have a story arc, hey? You can't just always be happy.
If everything's great, you know, is it really that fun? I think you've got to experience the lows.
You've got to have a year where you think you're drowning in the float tank.
A year?
That's a long time.
When you go, oh, that was a fabricated feeling. Then you really appreciate
never let Wolfie be in charge of prisoners of war.
Wouldn't you be happy to do it? Man, don't you find, though, like, do you sometimes double guess your feelings and realize it's just chemicals? So then is it real?
I've got a friend who actually will say that, and she'll say, you know, you are in control of your own emotions and controlling, you know, yourself basically. So you're right, it is a chemical thing.
Well, it's mindfulness, isn't it?
Yeah, mindfulness.
And it's that whole concept that you have tens of thousands of thoughts at any moment and then you're pre-programmed which ones you latch on and then ride on. Do you know, you could just totally re-engineer it.
Yeah.
And just jump onto other thoughts. Do you know what I mean?
Like
You're the master of your own demise.
Yeah.
Just focus on the good stuff.
We are interesting.
This is our self-help podcast
now, right?
Yeah, well, come to my healing clinic down in Denmark. Yeah.
We are interesting as humans, but because, you know, we can have say, a post on Facebook, we could have like 20 different beautiful comments and one negative one, and which one is the one we hone in on? That 100%. Negative one.
And yeah. Even if there's nothing there, you make your own ones. You know, you doubt what you actually... You said it's just dog shit. It's fucking bad grammar. Get rid of this.
Bad grammar?
Yeah, I screwed up because I didn't listen in school and I was like, you don't need sentences.
I've got
and
bad
fucking
grammar.
Commas. I was like, just fucking read it in one stream of consciousness, and now it's very hard to communicate in a written form. Do you know what I mean?
I'm like, that's called autism.
People don't know what I'm saying, and I'm like, I don't know what commas are. Just throw them in randomly. Yeah. You know, like a fucking dartboard. Just bow, that'll do. And then I realise it has a big impact on what you're actually saying, the comma.
Mm.
Please come here and... Or please come. Oh, I don't know. Fuck.
That was the worst example. Please come here and please come.
Please come and please comma come. I was trying to do like a sex joke. Please come and please come. Fuck, I went for it. C-O-M-E and C-U-M. Whatever.
It's all good. It's all good.
Written down that joke.
If the commas, grammatically, if it was correct, that's the problem with that.
Yeah, I fucked it up, but in my head I was fumbling around. And this is my fucking problem, dude. In a way, I wish I hadn't been so cynical of the system, because I just resisted all knowledge and have just tried to generate my own thoughts and everything. So some of it's valuable.
Yeah.
Like fucking communication, language, English. Fuck. I can have my time again.
I don't know if you're having a stroke right now or what's going on.
I think I had a nervous breakdown about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
I'm not making sense.
You are making sense.
Well,
it's okay, Andrew.
Well, the listeners will be on board.
Yeah.
Yeah, all listener will be on board.
Yeah.
You're clear. It's all right. Yep. Who have your biggest influence in comedy been?
Oh, mine's Andrew Wolf.
Shin, man.
This guy.
It's interesting. Hey, who would yours be?
Big fan of Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah, I love Patrice.
Not necessarily his material, just his attitude to comedy.
Yeah.
That's something I think that, you know, a lot of people need to adapt. Adopt, should I say.
Bigger risks.
Yeah, the first one that I saw, like first comedy special I saw was either Raw or Delirious. I think it was Raw. Mm. And so Eddie Murphy's just like, you know.
Oh, that was the best. I mean, in reflection, a lot of it...
Very homophobic.
Not ideal.
Very homophobic.
As a young kid, I howled with laughter, man.
That was...
I'd never seen... I didn't even know you could be that funny.
Exactly. I didn't even know, like, stand-up is its only thing as a real genre. You know, you think comedy and you think, you know, as a kid, you're like, oh, fuck
yeah.
You know, some Shrek bullshit. But then now, you know, you look back at it and you hear this guy talking about his dick blowing up.
Oh, mate, I remember. Do you remember? I remember where I was watching it.
Yeah, I was at my cousin's house.
And mate put it on and I realised, I've got really shitty friends. Do you know, because the standard of what humour was.
Oh,
I was like, fucking get away from me with your trash jokes. Yeah, you know? I want more of this guy.
There was like that, there's literally, you watch that, there's like a little sparkle in your eye as you're watching it. Then you do comedy for like 7 years and you're like, ah, fuck this.
Yeah, man. How long did you want to be a comedian? I think I always did in my heart. After seeing that thing young.
I think that, and also a lot of my friends pushed me into comedy.
Yeah, because you're naturally funny, man.
You can't say
that, because if you did, you wouldn't be funny, man.
Thank you. That's not for me to say.
But
don't you think a person where you go, oh, you're naturally funny, and they go, yeah, I am. Generally wouldn't be funny, because you would have to have doubt, right?
Yeah.
That anxiety is where a lot of it comes from.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it's like with the comedy stuff in terms of like what inspires you. You look back on it and then, you know, because people change as we get older. When I was 18, you know, or 19 doing my first gig.
Yeah.
Mm. Like even in terms of maturity and the levels of what I think and what I believe have changed so much in the last 10 years or whatnot.
Oh, 100%, man. Mm. I had backlogs of writing that I was like, it's gold mine. I remember writing journals in Europe.
Garbage.
And I'm like, it's fucking garbage. It's unreadable. And it's so much of it's offensive. Do you know what I mean? As you graduate, it's just like, these are just racist. This is cancel shit. Do you know what I mean? And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But you'd been influenced by who you're around. And as you get more exposed to the world, I think you get more, you understand more. Do you know what I mean? I think when you're isolated, you can easily fall into those traps. But the more you know and see of people...
What sort of traps, Wolfie?
Well, I'm just saying, like, a lot of my friends did and said things, but it's because...
Spell it out.
They live in a shit suburb, do you know, and they don't
what
have exposure to ideas.
Things about what type of people?
About plumbers. Dirty plumbers coming in your house.
Yeah, we can probably leave it at that.
Oh,
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, I whoa.
All right.
I could have gone.
You could have. You could have. Absolutely. How have you developed your career? So, how long ago did you guys started in 2010 and 12? Was it?
Yeah.
And
career is a strong word, man. I would say my hobby.
Hobby. All right. Yeah.
Really.
I just feel like you couldn't even say. I mean, maybe the top 10 comics in Australia, like a Rove, have a career, but the rest
are.
Are
you really putting scrapping. Rove in your top 10 comics?
No, I'm saying in Australia right now? People that have careers. Do you know what I mean? As in that can, I mean, even there's only a handful, like Carl Barron, that's a straight comic. The rest have had to do something else,
TV and stuff,
to fund it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? In the UK and US, they're straight comics. Do you know what I mean? Like a Sam Kinison, he's one of my big influences, Sam Kinison. And I was like, he didn't do any bloody
talk shows. I mean, he did talk shows.
Yeah, but he went in there and just trashed the place. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, he wasn't involved. True. He didn't have panel shit. He was, and he went downhill after the coke addiction, but his early stuff was amazing.
His first album was amazing.
Dude, it's unbelievable.
But then what happened to the other albums?
It doesn't matter though, man, because that one album he produced was better than what most people ever made. Well, that's the thing
now. Like, so many people are like, oh, you need a new hour every year. It's like, man, okay, Kinison's first hour, it would have taken him 15 years to write.
100%, and you just want to knock it out of the park once.
Wow. Yeah, and then the next one, you've got, you know, people expecting the same level of you with a year's worth of work. Fair enough, you've progressed in terms of your writing and ability to deliver or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be able to. That's why, like, if you watch Kevin Hart, his comedy is not good these days.
I know, and you know what the thing is? It's that workhorse mindset. Oh, you've got to produce content. Eddie Murphy only made two albums, genuinely, and he's still regarded as one of the greats.
Genuinely, how can you be at the top of your game in comedy when you're doing four fucking movies a year?
100%.
You know, you're doing X amount of TV appearances.
And you've got yes men all around you saying, oh, you're so funny, Kevin. Like, you're so funny.
A lot of these
people, audience love you.
For example, Bill Burr, he's like one that does F is for Family and Just Comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. And he went with this release a special tour. Like, you know, 2 years is his cycle, I think.
And also, he's so negative that I don't think fame's impacted him because he hates people. So yeah. He resents the popularity. So
I think all comics deep down do that, though. I think all real comics deep down resent all people.
I think that's 100% true. They don't really even want to touch the fans. Hey,
photo. No way.
They just want to take their money.
The worst thing. The worst thing is talking to people after the show. I don't like that at all.
But is that because you've been on this zone and then you don't want to have to do that?
Because it's crowd the same conversation. After?
Yeah. Okay.
What are they going to say to you? It's not like they're going, oh, let's have a 20-minute conversation to really get to the nitty gritty.
See, that's how I liken dating. It's exactly the same boring conversation all the time.
Yeah, well, 100%, to be honest. But
the same boring conversation attached to different faces.
What do you say? Oh, you're so funny tonight.
Yeah, but it just a lot of people are like that, though, full stop. Mm. They don't realise they're on a loop.
But why don't you turn around and go about, you know, which part did you like them best and get some feedback?
I don't really care about their opinion.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you know why? Because
okay.
Yeah, there is something to that because, do you know what I mean? They're trapped. They didn't dare to risk. So, like, the inputs, you know what I mean? They haven't seen the other side of the fence. So,
you know how many old people, especially this generally happens with old guys, will come up to me after a show. It's like, yeah, here's one you can use for your show. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then it's always some fucking sexist shit.
Oh, it's always the worst.
Or it's always some. For me, I get a lot of Asian jokes. And I'm like, why do you think it's appropriate to tell me this after I've been roasting people on stage?
Mate,
this,
and they don't stop. They'll hit you.
24.
They hit you after the gig, private messaging you, just in case you forgot.
I don't give out my socials. So, no.
So someone did actually once give me some lines to provide to a comedian. And I just smiled and nodded and went, oh, okay, no worries, I'll pass it on. I didn't, you know, I don't think you guys need that.
So if I'm doing a show with Wolfie and then he hears one of my bit and he's got like a good tagline.
He'll definitely
come up to me and be like, hey, man, at the end of this, what about this? You're all right.
I think that's different.
But you have to do that with certain people. Some people resent it and then you're pissed off. They're like, what the fuck?
Who resents it?
I've given to people and I've told them and then they've sort of not used it, and I can tell. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just sort of dismiss you.
Yeah.
I tried it with, I can't say any of these names.
No, you don't say the names.
Say the names.
No, don't.
Do you know who I really liked was a big influence for me was I saw Steve Hughes in London.
Yeah.
Who the guy that's sort of being chased out of Australia. Did you know Steve Hughes?
No.
Yeah, Steve. Some of his early work is some of the greats. Hey, he's one of the greats.
He's, yes. Yep.
are we moving right along here?
But he's a massive influence. Like what he does on stage, I love, man. He's got that.
He's awesome.
No holds barred. And maybe sometimes it's not to your taste, but fuck, he's doing what I like to, what I dream of doing, man. Just fucking taking down statues or, you know, hitting down the ivory towers. And yeah,
it's funny because you're trying to build an ivory tower for yourself.
Yeah, you know what I mean? What he's doing there is fucking God's work.
Wow.
Okay. No, as I said, I'm not going to be pinned to individual bits. Some bits I like, other bits I don't. But I'm saying it's the way to... It's fucking...
So
it's
as a
truth,
blanket
man,
statement,
it's truth serum. It's
according to Wolfie, Steve Hughes is doing God's work.
He's doing truth serum to the masses.
All right. So if you guys could have dinner with anyone, who would it be?
What? My ex, man. Save that marriage.
My kids. I haven't seen him in a while.
That's so good.
That's a pretty open-ended question. What, in comedy or just in general?
Anything, yeah.
Anyone oh, give me a basketball player. Like
really?
Give me like a James Harden or like a Tracy McGrady. I guess LeBron can come too.
Fuck. Oh, that's a good one, man. I want to
hang out with people that do stuff that I can't do. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, yeah, I want to hear people on that next level of like, you know, athletically something.
What would you ask them then, Chris?
Oh, I wouldn't ask them anything.
You just want to hang
out. You know, the last thing that you want to do is when you hang out with people that have like too much time, like not enough time in the day and super famous. You don't want to be that dickhead that's asking them questions about their work.
Dude, that's what I hate so much. The people that become fans, they do it in the green room sometimes. Like you get a high-profile comic, and then they become fanboys and fangirls. I'm like, why can't we keep it real? Why can't we just say, dude, who cut your hair? That's fucked. Or, you know what I mean? And just be truthful with them and actually establish a genuine connection with the human being.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of this. Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah, I don't think you'd ever want to ask them anything specific. You know, like... You know, I'm taking this question as a, you know, just a dinner. We're not going to hang out afterwards, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
It's just a dinner.
Nice. I think that's quite a good idea to take someone out, a fish out of water. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to experience that, you know, it's not their skill set. So you go fishing with LeBron or, do you know what I mean? Camping. Or, do you know what I mean? Just have him in a different scenario, just as a human.
Yeah. No, not even camping.
I was going to say, I hate camping. That wouldn't work for me.
Let's just go to dinner. What's wrong with the steakhouse? Yeah.
Dinner's great.
I don't know, man.
Dinner's great unless you take me out and I've got my allergies and I'm a vegetarian and I'm a pain in the butt.
I'll take you to dinner.
Oh, wheat and dairy. So I'm nearly vegan.
Wheat and dairy.
Yeah.
So what do you eat? Just carrots and hummus?
Oh, I've got a great diet.
You've got a good diet, man.
Yeah.
Cigarettes and...
Yuck,
we're
no,
the right people
that.
To talk about our dietary requirements. Yeah. Me and Wolfie sweated on the way up here.
How did you find that you were allergic to wheat? Like, what, do you break out?
I had an allergy test done when I was young, so... not good. I'm allergic to grass, actually. That's the worst one for me. No, I have had pizza. You get gluten-free bases, Chris.
But gluten-free and dairy-free pizza would surely be trash.
Well, yeah, some.
I'm sorry to really rub it in.
No, sometimes I have the no cheese on my pizzas, and now you can get
pizza
vegan cheese.
Yeah, but you know what I don't understand is why do they try replicate, like, because there's a big rivalry, vegan, meat eaters.
Yeah,
and
then
they've
got the chicken
vegans
wings.
Always trying to make, like, pretend burgers.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Surely make your own thing and just go, it's a leaf on a stick or whatever. It's our favourite. But you know what I mean? Like, they're always trying to replicate.
A leaf on a stick? Which part of that do you eat?
No, but I'm saying, so they act like they don't care, but then they produce food that's trying to mirror dog shit eating. Like, a burger's fucking a dead cow.
Yeah, how much like
I don't like fake meat, personally. And I can't eat the grass in the paddock because, you know, I'm allergic to that,
too. Yeah, what are you doing in paddocks eating lawn? It's crazy.
Just recurring.
Well, you said a leaf on the stick, so, I thought I'd go there.
I was reaching for a joke that didn't work.
All right, what is the worst thing you guys have ever eaten, then?
Oh, I'm Asian, so I've eaten a whole bunch of horrendous shit.
Tell, what?
Probably like dried seafood stuff is pretty pungent.
Oh, same, I like seaweed.
Do you know what I've had?
No, that's dried seaweed. I'm talking about like dried squid and shit like that.
I've had that bat in Japan. I have actually eaten it.
Yeah, me and Wolfie went to a bat
and I'll tell you,
the other day,
I fucking ate it, and those fuckers have a lot of bones in them. Have you seen it? It's just mainly bones. It's
no,
the taste of shit.
It's like eating a meat roll-up. You know what I mean?
Like
the leathery wing.
It's like a reverse crab. It's just all the shell.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? It's just fucking... It was so gross.
You might as well, it just tastes like biting Kaneki's jumper,
and
you know?
It's sort of leftover, man. Yeah, it was no good. Yeah. That's not tasty, hey?
It's like built-in, you know, if it's dry.
The in there as well.
Let's talk about that. Can we talk about that?
COVID, yeah, go for it. Man. What would you like to talk about?
I just want to see how, you know, like here, we're pretty lucky, you know what I mean?
We've been very lucky.
So. Have we been lucky or we're the most isolated city in the world?
That's
so good, right?
That helped us, man. Yeah. No one coming in and out. We're like, we hardly got it. I'm like,
but
no one came here.
Us going all like Berlin and putting up barriers and shit has definitely helped, you know what I mean? But
Do you know people that have been affected?
I did. You know, Perth didn't have that many cases and... I knew a lady from the gym and one of the ladies that worked at the supermarket, her brother-in-law and sister had it as well.
This is already too many people apart though.
That's close to home.
That's one person apart. I know, I was very like, whoa. We're
I
gonna
don't know
worry.
Anyone that got it, so and really nasty about it all. Do you know, I think until it affects you directly, you just whatever. Yeah. And then suddenly your mum's got it and you're like, no, we've got to take this seriously.
Well, that's the thing. I'm glad everyone has stopped being like, oh, my mum's going to die. My mum's going to die.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of eased up now. Which
it was stressful for a while, man. A lot of people were saying it was more of a mind virus. Do you know? Just the
Bill Gates' mind virus was
worse than what was happening. It just became a panic. And do you know what I mean? That's
but
a
if you were
in
itself, any other country at the moment, like, that's hardcore what's happening over there.
I know.
We had the fear here, definitely. And I think we all experienced it.
I think as West Australians, we probably handled this in terms of just as people... The worst way possible.
Yeah.
Everyone just turned into fucking animals.
Everyone's so selfish now.
Ah, yeah, fucking old people.
And they just got the loot rolls, and no one was being kind about it. Hey, did you stockpile up?
No.
I guess it only took a pandemic for single-use plastics to be okay again.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, you know, this is, you know, modern history. When our kids or our kids generate, and you know, their kids look back at this. Us Australians, we
handled it well.
Really badly.
Do you think?
Well, no, man,
I can't.
Look at it.
Government-wise, on a government level,
is this
going to
be like on History Channel?
It will be.
Where were you? When
Australians made toilet paper.
I wish I could COVID and got the
fuck out. Australians made toilet paper go, you know, obsolete.
Yeah, man, I just shit into the open water source.
Let's all jump on a cruise ship and risk it. You know what I mean? The cruise ship pool's looking really inviting right now. It's a lukewarm 37 degrees.
Yeah, so you think it's going to be like documented for a long time? That it'll be.
Oh, I
like
think it will come
COVID.
Up in lots of different educational platforms and. Yeah.
Oh,
we've never lived through anything like this, have we? So.
They had the black plague.
Yeah.
Black plague.
Yeah,
which is
100 and something years ago.
Smallpox, Spanish flu.
That's not a great use of the...
You know what's crazy? All the white people getting so offended by this, but they are the inventors of the original disease that kills everyone.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for years. Smallpox in blankets, black plague, whooping cough.
Yeah, we passed most of it around.
Yeah, and then now you guys are looking at my mum like she's the original AIDS monkey.
Yeah.
Give her a banana or some kimchi, whatever she wants.
Yeah, man. Oh, dude. Fuck.
If you could time travel to anywhere, where would you go?
Time travel.
Well, can you go backwards or forwards?
Anywhere.
I mean, look, I'm really interested in like some extinct animals, like from the Pleistocene era and stuff like that, like the big, extra big mammals, the megafauna and stuff like that. So maybe that time if they had like penicillin.
Is that dinosaur period?
No, just after dinosaur period.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, man, I don't know. I think I'd probably want to go internally into my own consciousness. travel into my thoughts.
You'll just go back and just to pinpoint which beating made the way you are.
I would like to see the end, the final end.
What, your end?
No,
of the world?
Of the universe.
Of the universe.
We said go back in time.
No, you can go anywhere.
I would like to stare over the abyss and watch as the Earth explodes.
Wow.
But and then safely exit. But
it's very endgame, isn't it?
I'd like to see how long left. So, like, I mean, that could be next week, let's be honest. So, like, but I would like to know, oh, shit, it goes for 10,000 years and we might not even be on the Earth at that point. Do you know, yeah. It'd be another, you know, weird.
So if the end was coming soon and you knew that, what would you do?
Well, I mean, that happens, hey? Like, people get the fortune teller.
Yeah.
You know, and then it sort of defines their life. The Mayan calendar, they start living to it. They live to that idea, do you know? And it's like you're going to meet a brown-haired guy and then suddenly you weed out all blot. You know, you start to subconsciously manifest this weird gypsy in a caravan's idea of what's going to happen.
Ask and you shall receive, baby.
Actually, maybe that's a bad idea. Okay, so I'll go back.
You've got the most, like, contrary view of every subject.
I think you were right. I don't want to know when the end is because that would freak you the fuck out, man. Do you know what I mean? It's probably better to go in the past.
Yeah.
I think seeing dinosaurs like Jurassic Park would be good.
That'd be cool, so long as you're safe. And
see what the cavemen look like and women.
Do you know cavemen and dinosaurs weren't around at the same time?
Were they not?
Definitely not.
But then what was... I'm saying whatever the incarnation of what a human was, whether it was a rat, you know, probably was a rat, but what was running around that we evolved from?
I believe
from?
In Jesus. It was...
oh, really? Yeah, man. Maybe we can go back and see Jesus.
Watch that fucker get crucified.
That's rough.
Or you'll be there nailing the fucking...
a big section of audience.
Have you ever sent an SMS to the wrong person and it went really wrong?
Oh, mate.
I mean, I'm not one to send, like, nudes or, like, you know, get dirty with text talk anyway, so.
Yeah.
I've done it with an email.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
actually, I've got a good one with on the phone with Matt Storer, who's another comic. So we had a bunch of comics hanging out at mine, and then Matt called because he said he was coming. And so after the phone conversation, I didn't hang up.
Yeah,
I forgot to hang up.
Oh, and he heard you.
Well, we were all talking shit about him. Like, just like real dumb shit. Just like, oh, Storer the Borer is coming over here. So everyone's like, oh, I'm not Storer.
Oh, Matt, I'm sorry for what he's saying.
And then Matt.
He comes in half an hour later, just like, fuck you.
We did it for a while with mates where you would send heinous texts that you had written and then just...
Oh, why don't you talk about phone hacks, mate?
You would message 2 minutes later and go, sorry, I was hacked. But you were actually writing them? So, you know, just to be crazy. Do you know, so they get a text and you just say, like, shit, you would, sort of like a phone hack, but you would hack yourself and you would force each other to get worse and worse.
This is the thing with me, though.
And they say, some idiot stole my phone, but you'd written it.
I truly believe, like, what I like to do is I try to live my life as much as possible by the, like, you know, the credo or whatever. Or if I'm going to say it behind your back, I'll happily say it in your face.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do.
You know, so...
If you're going to say something about someone, you better... Say it to them.
Yeah, so if I accidentally sent someone a message shit talking about them, it's most likely something I'd probably tell them.
I screwed up when I was younger and more immature because a mate asked for email addresses.
Yeah.
So I went into my address box. But because it's weird ones like Chicken Dick 45, he didn't know who any of them were. So I cut and pasted it into the email and then I wrote names and then I was like writing descriptions of them, but jokes, you know what I mean? Like fucking, I don't know, like... Jokes about everyone, and then I clicked send. So I had fucking I'd
so sent, you wrote a I'd list had, of burns.
So my entire address book, and then, so that was in two, and then in the email was a hey Logan, like here are these pricks that you ordered, and then proceeded this Chicken Dick 45 is that fucking turd from you know the basketball club. This is that, and then sent send, and immediately dropped to the carpet and was like nah, but. The truth was I was fine because I would say all this to their face.
Yeah, exactly. So no, you don't have a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I doubled down on it. I'm like, dude, yeah, you've got braces.
So you owned
it. Single, you fucking idiot. Well, I'd say that to your face.
That's what you got to do, right? You really, like, I don't know. There's a lot of people that like to, you know, dilly-daddle and, you know, be like, oh, yeah, he whispers here, he whispers there. But no, it's just awkward. Just get it out there.
It's 100%, man, because you initially hate a mean person or someone that's honest. But then you respect it. Like their firm hand, you start to... Do you know someone that will just say what's on their mind?
Yeah.
You're initially off put by it, but as you come to know them, you trust them more than a liar.
Yeah.
Do you know that's a fraud? that's 100%. Just going to say what you want to hear. And I've got to get more like that.
I don't like the people that
sometimes
like,
I'm a people pleaser. And just,
yeah, you know those people that like will smile to your face, but then you wouldn't trust them to fucking save your life.
Those are dangerous people.
There's so many of those, especially in the industry. There's so many of those just handshakers out there with this fake
smile. Do you think that's a dangerous person? Because they're not genuine.
Yeah, I mean, do you go with your vibe? Like, do you vibe that they're not a good person or they're full of shit? Or
yeah, it's about having that face, the fake face.
If I don't know you very well, right, and then you've got the biggest smile on your face to see me, and I know that we don't hang out.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? It's like, who are you trying to fool here, you or me? Like, you're not fooling me.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's the unspoken, because everyone knows the truth. Hey, do you know what I'm saying? To tie back into the comedy, the truth is real. It can't be denied. Do you know what I mean? So you can't pretend to like someone or act overly nice when you don't like them, because instinctually, I think as animals, you can pick it up, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I know, like, right now, you're feeling that we've overstepped the mark. You wish you hadn't come on.
No,
You're scared shitless and we're going to say some horrible stuff.
No.
But we're not intimidating because
I'm
going to
say, you are sitting very close to the edge of your seat.
I was only joking. But I just feel like you're worried, but I don't think you've crossed any lines. Maybe that shitting in the stream thing was an idea. But
it's all in.
Oh, no.
Do you think?
I'm not going to continue with the shit comments.
Are you brutally honest with people or not normally?
I don't like conflict, although in a business matter I will address conflict really well. But personally, no, I try to avoid, and I think that was partly upbringing, you know.
Yeah.
We are taught, you know, smile and do the nice thing and
let it fester.
Yeah. Well, I don't anymore, no. I'm older and I've got a good tribe. You know, when you've got a good cohort of people around you and you attract those like-minded people, I can be I can just be me. I can be silly.
Where's this tribe?
I'll have to introduce you.
We need some directions.
Where's this bloody jungle with these tribes?
And I'll introduce you. They're great girls.
In a green room, like, no one's – if you're in a – you know, everyone knows each other.
Mm.
No one's nice to each other in a green room.
Really?
Do you know what? The
like, if me and him are in the green room, we're just paying out on each other.
No, it's mean and mean spirited. But the thing
actually, to be fair, it's more one way.
Do you know a comic did it over East, and it was early on. I was like that because you're just trying to please people, and I'd be like, "Oh, good show, you did all right." But then he taught me, like, we all know what happened. So it's so much better to go like, holy shit,
if someone's done bad.
What happened, man? And they respect it because you can't deny what happened.
Even if they've done good, I say that.
Address the elephant in the room, right?
You say, like, what the fuck? And in your heart, like, you hate hearing it, but you love that person more than, it was fine.
Dude. We've had that conversation many times.
I like hearing it, man. Just get the truth. Because you'll do put something out and then a few people the few people get exposed.
Yeah.
No, it was fine, dude. It's funny. It's all right. And
the worst are...
A genuine person will undermine it all.
No, the worst people in comedy, the worst people in comedy are the people that don't know they do bad.
Okay.
Yeah, there's so many of them out there. Like, you've seen them just eat a bag, you know what I mean? And then they come off stage and then you always ask them. You never like, at the start, you're never like, oh, I mean, with close friends you are, but with new guys, you're kind of like, oh, how'd your gig go, mate? If any comic asks you, how's the gig after they've seen you on stage, you've done terrible.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
You're just alluding to the fact.
Yeah, but then they're like, man, it was great. They love me. It's like, what? We were watching the same thing, dude. Like, what?
It happens a lot, man. Early on over in Sydney, it was like that.
Really?
People were uploading shit. Just blew the roof off. I'm like, did you see Steve Hughes or something? You blew no roof.
Yeah.
Today they didn't even seem to notice. Like, Arj Barker would come down, and the response was markedly different, and they'd still be high fiving, going touchdown. Yeah. We fucking nailed it. I'm like, what are you watching, man?
And then they come on with the same material next week, not having changed anything.
Are they riding on the Arj Barker wave? You know?
No. He came on later. You know what's so good is they can never get good because you have to take feedback.
Well, it's not even that. It's you got to be self aware more. Yeah, 100%. You can't write a joke about yourself if you don't accurately know what you look like on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or what you portray to be. There's some comics that just was. problem. You know what I mean? They're not self-aware.
And you know what the thing is? You can catch the comedy wave because there's some nights where it's just on. And everyone will do well no matter what. You could put like a dog through a hoop and get an applause break. Mm. And I think that's what keeps some of these people going because occasionally the comedy gods shine on the room and do you know what I mean? This absolute trash is even
rewarded. And it's also, but if you also only go to open mic rooms too, there's thing of, I'm always in the top three. You're in the top three of a pool of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, there's a lot of turds out there.
It can hit hard, like, when it's a paid gig or, do you know what I mean? Like, a pro night is very different. Hey, like, they're not as giving. Like, you can do that Tuesday gig at Shapiro's.
Yep.
And you can pretty much just read your phone out. Do you know what I mean? And then versus where they've got babysitters, they're coming in. Do you know, you better not fucking miss food.
Also, everyone else on the lineup is of a caliber.
Yeah, yeah, that's the other thing. Their sample standard's higher. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one's eating spam from a can.
Can you guys share a joke?
Oof. We've got a Wolfie. I'll let you hit this one first.
You can go, man. The runway's yours.
I mean, obviously, I don't want to take it too racial.
Shit, I don't know.
So we can do a joke. I mean, we this is the only thing we're paid to do.
So I didn't prepare any. Let me
so
look
surely
phone
far out.
Okay, I wrote one. Maybe okay, this is one I can burn. I don't even know if I want to say this one. I'll tell another one.
All
okay.
right, tell
Fuck,
another
I'll
one.
Just
go
look
on
at Twitter. I'll look at Twitter. That's the move.
I did a bit about racism in how further you go from the suburbs, the more racist it gets. Have you noticed this? There's like this, like, you know. There's like this diameter, and as you go out, like in Rockingham, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely did a gig in Rockingham, and this is not even the part of the joke, this is a true story.
Yeah.
A lady came up to me and goes, "Oh, did you get here on your rice burner?"
That's like, oh, no.
That's the first thing she said to me, right?
Serious.
Yeah, 100%. This was last year as well, so it's not even that long ago.
Wow.
And that's the first thing she said to me. And I was like, at first, I was a bit taken back. But then, if you actually analyze rice burner, I think that's the dumbest. Like slur, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
rice burner is for an import, like Japanese car, they call it a rice burner. But surely, out of all the people in the world, like Asians are the least likely to burn their rice. You know what I mean? Thank you. And I'm out of here. No, Wolfie, you tell a joke.
Man, I'm just read a tweet. Like I was saying,
just don't read a tweet. Perform a joke.
You can read a tweet, it's all right.
Well, what
I
you
love how I'm done now and I'm
now
just
you pressurize me, man.
Throwing you under the bus.
No, I had a bit, but it's not a joke. It was just I tweeted about how a mate, like he was on a 3-day bender.
Yeah.
And he went to an exam drunk and got a higher test score than me. So it was fucking rock bottom for me. But you know, that wasted potential is the premise. And then I had something about clothes, just like ex-partners. Clothes are just like ex-partners. They become 80% better when the moment you see them on someone else.
That's quite a good one.
That's all right.
That is quite good. So have you guys got any shows coming up?
Yeah, dude, I've got your show on Saturday, hey?
Yeah, you do.
It's going to be exciting. Hopefully people will come. Like, this was all a joke. We can do it right. But, you know, there's a bit of rust on, you know, because people aren't gigging as frequently. Have you done a few shows back yet?
We started up on the 19th of June in Kalamunda.
Was it a good night?
Yeah, it was. I think because the audience wanted to come out, the comedians are ready to come out.
Yeah, all shows I've done so far have been pretty good.
Yeah.
I've seen some and they've been rocky, man.
Okay.
You know, like, I just, the comics haven't been gigging as much.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like,
I definitely
it's like you're going to the gym, you haven't done F45 for
I think that goes away on stage, though. I think, like, I think that affects you more just before you go on stage as opposed to when you're on stage. Well, that's what I found anyway. I was nervous before I jumped up again for the first time in
ages.
I
haven't been nervous in ages. There.
But then you're on stage and it's just like riding a bike.
And it's also the hard thing is doing material now because so much big stuff's happened, like COVID, yeah. Black Lives Matter.
And if you don't address it.
It feels like you've got to address it, but then every comic addresses it. So if you're on like fourth, people are like, this guy's stealing from Shin, man.
This literally happened.
It happened to us and we weren't watching each other.
Yeah, like a week or two ago.
And we had pretty much the same set, or we had a lot of the premises crossed over.
Yeah, a lot of the premises crossed over, but luckily I went on first.
He was on before me, they were prick.
And I did great, but then...
he did well, and I looked like I'd been with a notepad in the green room listening to his set. But I felt like I had to address it because if I can't just talk about what's with haircuts.
It's like if there's a heckler in the room, you know what I mean? Yeah. You've got to shut that down. If something's obvious enough that the audience pays attention to it, you've got to address it.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of feel like COVID and like Black Lives Matter and all that stuff was.
But it will be a relief once it's...
settled down.
It's gone because there's not long left. I feel like it's all... not saying like the Black Lives Movement's fixed, but I'm saying like...
The whole COVID situation. I'm just saying that
the fact that it's all everyone's doing or thinking about, do you know what I mean? Like that's moving on now because a few people are getting out and about and you can... Do you know because...
But that's only here in Perth. Like if you look at internationally... Yeah. Yeah, we're in a very, very different situation.
You forget how much writing, your writing's influenced on you going around and doing shit.
Yeah, but you know what's...
I couldn't come up with anything.
You know what's actually insane to me is how quickly we forget as humans. I remember week one of the Black Lives Matter movement, I was checking the news every morning for the riots. Oh, what's happened here? What's Trump said? What's Trump... Literally, after about a week and a half, I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's still going on, but it'll die down. I haven't Googled Black Lives Matter stuff.
Man, I'm still in there.
I was like with the COVID stuff, to be honest. And that's because I was traveling to Bali. And
What date did you go to Bali?
I was due to go in March. We cancelled 2 weeks before.
Oh, you're so lucky, man, because I was looking at the flight. Yeah. It was about $8 and I was like, it's worth it. But then you were going to get locked down there and they were charging about $15,000 to get back out. We had booked.
Didn't have a chat before.
I was definitely going to do it. I was like, fuck this, I'm going to Bali, man.
We had planned, but we cancelled because it all was escalating so fast. And then I'm glad we did because the day we drew back was the day that... WA had that 14-day lockdown period.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I'm glad we didn't go. Like, I don't want to.
Did you get your money back?
Yeah, we lost $80 each.
Oh, that's great.
Nothing.
But to be honest, $80 is like the whole plane ticket at this.
That's right. It was great.
But the airlines were good about it.
Well, we got our taxes back. I know. I know, right. All right. So, Chris, what about yourself? Any shows coming up?
Yeah, I'm at the emceeing at the Comedy Lounge on the.
You got a show and tell
29th.
As well, show and tell after drinking.
I'm also doing the craft on the 24th, I think. I've got...
It sounds like you're making these up.
Beer and wine. The beer tasting show at General Squires on the 2nd, I think, like that, or something like that. And so a few things coming up.
Yeah, man.
In the works. At the lounge. Me and Wolfie are at the lounge.
We're on the lounge a lot.
So. Yeah. You'll see us there.
Down there.
And NY Events have a number of shows at the moment as well. So it's on www.nyevents.com.au/comedy. Social medias, where can we find you guys?
I don't really do the social media thing. I'm a bit of a dinosaur. So I'll put puffs
on the Wolfie. I'm dead at the wheel on Instagram and Twitter.
Okay.
So dead at the wheel. It's my thing.
That's how people can find
you. Yeah, I only started late on it. I had Twitter years ago and I just got too angry with it, so I deleted it. But then
that's just because they gave you a 25-character limit.
Yeah, it was too hard.
You can't rant for that long.
I've only just come back to it, so it's pretty bleak on there.
Yeah.
I don't have... It looks like I've burnt bridges or something. There's not too many people following.
It's hard to get followers these days on any platform.
On Twitter it's hard now.
People don't necessarily just instantly like you anymore. You've got to work at it.
Yeah, some people have followers, but you can tell they bought them.
Yeah. With socials and stuff, I'm like, does anyone really want to see what I fucking ate in the morning or like, you know. Do you really need like a reaction video of me reacting to something?
Yeah. Although I do like, I've been liking TikTok a bit. It's pretty funny. I'm not
TikTok's
on there.
TikTok's great. Yeah.
I find it hilarious, man. It is funny. Anything like those pranks.
Yeah.
They're right in my wheelhouse, hey, childish humour.
Just pranks.
Pranks, anything in a drive-thru. stuff they do in supermarkets into strangers' ears.
Oh, I love it.
And dangerous shit.
Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Oh, thanks so much for having us, man. I hope it was all right.
Yeah, it was great. Next week, we've got two Perth-based comedians doing a podcast and TV show.
Oh, give us the names.
Who is it?
I'm. Well, it's a bit of a, you know, teaser for my audience. Yeah,
Perth Comics. Are you sure it's worth it?
Where was our TV show opportunity?
I don't know. Have you got a TV show going?
Oh no, they actually currently got a TV show.
They're working on it at the moment. Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a good one. I think I might know what that one is. Some hot on that one.
Sorry. Thanks everyone for listening. This is Yvonne Fletcher from Bounce Back, and you've been listening in on DRN1.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.